Good morning, everyone. You know, some people just say morning because they're not so sure it's good or not, but morning. And others, you know, it's Happy New Year right now, right? Happy New Year. And others are saying, what's so happy about it? Well, we're happy that we have another opportunity, right? Another year. We're going to be beginning a series today for the month of January about renewed hope or hope in a new era. Just recently, the last charter member of Calvary Christian Church passed away. Though there are some left here who were children at the time, as I understand it, those who initially resolved to plant this congregation are no longer with us. They have gone on to be with the Lord. Now, of course, it is natural for us to feel saddened at times like this. Yet I submit to you that with the end of every era, there's also lying an opportunity for new beginnings. Certainly we understand that concept with the changing of seasons, do we not? That the changing of seasons is like a new era. We see that there's new things to look forward to as we leave some other things behind. The turning of the calendars we're doing even right now from one year to another. We see things behind us, but yet to look forward to things ahead. There are many seasons in our lives and periods in history when it's worthwhile to ponder the possibility, see, of a new era. And I believe with all of my heart that Calvary's founders would have us look to the future with anticipation. Their dream was for the church here in this locality to be a light in the community for generations to come, not just for their generation. And the legacy that they've left us is that we should have such a dream as well. For, again, the light to remain, not just for our generation, for our time, but for times to come. And we need to have the faith and trust that they did, that the Lord of Heaven will equip us, enable us to do just that thing, to be the light in the community that God calls us to be. Thinking about all this, and really even many of the songs that we sang this morning seem to coincide with this, even though I did not, once again, collaborate with our praise team about what my message is going to be specifically about. The word of the Lord from the book of Isaiah came to my mind. Isaiah chapter 42 and going through chapter 43. We're going to pick up in actually verse 23 of chapter 42. And that's on page 1125 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. And I do encourage you to do that. If you brought your own Bibles, that would be great. But to follow along, because I'm only going to highlight some passages here because there's a lot of text. We're going to be reading through it rather quickly, and I'll be highlighting some passages for you. But I believe there's a message here for all of us in this era. He starts off and he says, which of you will listen to this or pay attention in time to come? Well, think about that. That's a little timely. Which of you will listen to this and pay attention to this in the time to come? He goes on in verse 24, who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we've sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. Now Isaiah is speaking to the people of God at that time, reminding them that though the last several years had been extremely difficult for them, much of the hardship that they had to endure, well, was due to their disobedience, the disobedience of their forefathers, their own rebellious hearts, as they chose to go in their own direction and not in the ways that God directed them to go. God had subjected them to bondage, to slavery in Babylon for a long period as a consequence of this rebellion. And he's reminding them that the situation you're in, well, how did you get there? Can you relate at all? Can any of you relate? Perhaps some of you can. That we're sometimes in situations and it's best for us to stop and assess, well, how did we get here? How did we get here in the first place? The reality is we've all messed up. We all have. Matter of fact, some of us have messed up so many times, we're a mess. We are. And we recognize that, and we need to acknowledge that when, again, some circumstances, some situations that we're going through, that we're in, are our own fault, so to speak, or we've had some contribution to getting here, that we need to recognize that and realize that. Though we're not solely responsible for every disappointment in our lives, We have to own the fact that we sometimes, again, are suffering consequences of some poor decisions. Any of you ever made a poor decision? Of course not. None of you ever made a poor decision. None of you ever did something, you know, maybe even kind of without thinking it through thoroughly, without thinking about all the possible scenarios that could play out, and then you look back and say, oops, wish I had a do-over. Wish I could go back and do that. Wish I could change that situation. But sometimes we cannot do a do-over, but we can learn from what we did or didn't do in the past. And that's it. See, it's not always that we did wrong. It's not always that. In fact, sometimes the situations that we're in are because of the good we failed to do. How many of you know that negligence can also bring forth heartache? How many of you know that? That just not doing what you should have done or procrastinating with something, you know, and then it got ahead of you, or boy, you were hoping that you could just kick that can down the road and you pay the consequences for that. That it happens. Sometimes we just think doing nothing is a good alternative. It very seldom is, okay? Very seldom is. I have good news though. Reading on in the next chapter, we're going to be going into chapter 43 now, Isaiah has this to say. In verse 1, he says, but now. See, he's told them where they're at and how they got there. He says, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. And this is what he says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Listen to that. He says, what? I've redeemed you. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you. How? By name. What does that mean? He knows you. He knows you personally. Well, how does he know you? You're mine. You belong to me. He goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I'll be, what? With you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, he says, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Why? Since you are precious and honored in my sight. And I love you. Who's saying that? That's the Lord. And he says in verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up! And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do you hear that? They were not in a good situation. They were not in a good circumstance. Though times had been tough, though, see, God had not abandoned them. That's not what that was about. So many people, when things are not going well, they think, well, where's God in this? Where is God? God must have left me. I must have done something where he's given up on me. He's walked away from me. No. He's saying, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. And though there will be rough times, he says, yet ahead, what? He'll be with them. And I mean every one of them. None of them is going to be left behind. See, he's going to be with every one of them. All of them called by his name. Every one of them from wherever they are. Is he going to miss them? Is he going to overlook them? Are they going to escape the rescue, the deliverance? No. He's going to deliver them. He's going to be there with them. He is with them. Every single one of them. And guess what? He's with you too. We sang earlier, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you a child of God? See, the sons and daughters, he calls himself, right? Going to miss out on any of his kids? No. Not a one. So he is with us too. I want you to turn to your neighbor and just say this, God's with us too. God's with us too. That's one thing to say it. Do we believe it? That he's with us. We just finished the season for the Christmas celebrations, and we talked a lot about Emmanuel. God with us, right? He is with us. He's not abandoned us either. He had a plan, see, to rescue them from their plight, to redeem them from their enemy, raise them up once again. And I believe with all my heart that's true for us as well. And with that in mind, he tells them to do something. So recognizing God is with them, recognizing God has not abandoned them, what should they do in the meantime? Reading on in verse 8, the Lord says, lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations are gathered together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so others may hear and say, it is true. In verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there ever be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there's no Savior. I've revealed and saved and proclaimed, and I, not some foreign God among you, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? Now, don't miss this section. The Lord's calling his people to be what? Witnesses. To give witness, right? To give testimony. To stand up among the people and to proclaim the goodness of God. Now, wait a minute. Aren't they still in bondage? Aren't they still in captivity? Aren't they still having some hardships and difficulties? Yes, he's saying, don't wait until you're delivered. On the promise I'm giving you, right now, today, you be my witnesses. You declare to the nations that I am God, and I'm still on the throne. I am God, and I am control. I am the God who delivers and rescues. We're to tell others about who he is, what he's done, and what he's promised yet to do. For he's not done yet. God wasn't done with his people then. He's not done with them now. He's not done yet. Tell your neighbor, God's not done yet. God's not done yet. He's not. And be ready to tell not just your neighbor in here, to tell your neighbors out there the very same thing, because that's the idea. See, call on those people who would say, oh, I don't know if I even believe in God. I don't know if God's even around anymore. I think God might be dead, as he used to say in the 60s. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, let me tell you. There is a God. He is my God. He is my Father. He is good. And he's not done yet. He's not done with me. He's not done with you. He's not done in this country. He's not done in this world. He's not done. He's not done with his church. He's not done in Rockford, is he? He's not done. God is with us, and he is not done yet. We need to be the witnesses of that. No matter how bad it gets or how hopeless it may appear in your life or in the scenarios around you, God's still God, and he will still redeem his people. In fact, reading on in Isaiah chapter 43, we're told in verse 16, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now that sure sounds to me like when he rescued his people from Egypt to the Red Sea. And he's reminding them of that, but it's interesting in verse 18 that he says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Right after reminding them what God had done in the past, he says, now forget about the past. Pardon me? Am I supposed to remember the past or forget about the past? Yes. We're supposed to remember the past, what God has done, and be emboldened in faith by what he's done in the past, and trust his promises for the now, and not believe he's only worked in the past and he won't work in the present. I've met so many people say, well, I know God did that in the past. I know God's done some mighty and miraculous things for other people. You know, way back then, way over there, he's telling them, look, forget about what I've done for them now. I'm going to do something for you. I've got a mighty work for you. I'm going to deliver you. Things were about to change. So he's saying, look to the future. Things are about to change. Historically, if you know what took place there in the very time frame of what Isaiah is talking about, what happened for them, the people were about to be delivered, but it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like just a one swoop of his hand, and boy, they were rescued, you know, like lifted up, you know, like in a miraculous way, in one mighty act. That's not the way it happened. It happened over a period of time. But what is he saying to them? What is he saying? Even though it might not be discernible to others, even to you, what I'm doing right now, I want you to be on the alert. I want you to have your eyes open and your hearts open and be ready, because I'm about to do something. And if you look real closely, you're going to see the signs of that happening even now. You're going to see the subtle shifts. You're going to see the changing of the tide. You're going to see that if you'll look for it. The heart of faith. Look for it. Look for it. How many of you know that sometimes we are years down the road before we look back and realize what God did to get us out of a situation? That sometimes it's so much later when we realize, well, I see what God was doing now, but I didn't see it then because we're not aware, we're not alert to it, we're not even believing sometimes that He can do something in our situation. But He's saying, hey, open your eyes. Don't you perceive it? Don't you have faith in what I'm doing and what I can do and what I'm promising to do? Believe it. There are some of you here right now who could be witnesses and give testimony of some things He's done in the not so long ago. I was talking with someone just this morning who a couple months ago, things were looking pretty bleak for them. And didn't seem to be any way forward. And God has done some mighty things for them and through other people and just opened some doors. Hallelujah. Praise God. But they didn't see it. Didn't even know how it was going to happen. But we have to be alert, see, open to God's work. Believe it. Trust it. Expect it. Expect it. Watch with eager anticipation and expectation of the way that He's going to make for deliverance. So tell your neighbor, watch for it. Watch for it. Watch for His deliverance. Watch for it. Watch for those signs. Watch for those indications. Perceive it. Get ready. Watch for it. And when you start seeing those signs, praise God for every baby step in your perspective. Every little, give praise to God for the subtle shifts and changes that are just a forecast of what's coming. Of what's coming. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. In the next section, in Isaiah 43, God tells them He's going to rescue them even though they've not honored Him or praised His name as they should have. They haven't offered sacrifices to Him. They haven't served Him. The very phrase He uses, you haven't wearied yourself with service to me. What? Wearied? You've not exerted much effort. You've not expended yourself. You've not made it a priority. You've not done it. But what He says in verse 24... Instead, it actually says, you burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. Verse 24. Think about on that a minute. That's heavy. They had burdened God with their sins? What does that even mean? His heart was weighed down with their rebellion, with their sins, with their refusal to acknowledge Him. He was grieved by that, broken by that, and wearied by their offenses. Well, God wearied? He earlier said, you haven't wearied yourself You haven't spent yourself in service to me. But he's saying, you've wearied me. Now, we know that's not physically. We know that's not taking anything away from the power and the strength of God. What is he saying? You ever felt weary within your bones, weary within your spirit? Over choices maybe your children have made or friends have made or maybe you've made. But it wearied him that they had been the way that they were. What do they deserve? Judgment, not mercy. They deserve to be delivered out of their situation or left there to rot. What do they deserve? Yet he goes on to say in verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Wow. How gracious is that? How incredible is that? How beautiful is that? That rather than treat them as they deserve, he chooses to forgive, to extend mercy. Rather than hold it against them, he wipes the slate clean. How wonderful is that? So maybe you think you're not worthy of a second chance. That you've wasted too many opportunities. There's been too many New Years when you said, well, things are going to change, I'm going to change, and nothing changed. Maybe you think you've been in this rut so long that it's become a grave that you're destined to die in. Think again. Think again, O child of God. Think again. Remember what he said earlier? You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Why? Because we're so lovable? No. Earlier we sang a song where a line in it says, these two things I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. When we look at our own record, our own, if you will, behavior, our own past, we're unworthy. At the very best, we're unworthy servants, Jesus would say. At the very best. But our value, our worth, isn't determined by us. It isn't determined by what we've done or what we'll do. It's determined by God's love and grace and mercy and the price he paid to redeem us. He gave his one and only son, didn't he? He gave us Jesus. How much value did he place upon you? How much worth did he ascribe to you? Forget about what everybody else says about you, what everybody else thinks about you, what you think about yourself and your value and your worth. How much does he value you? If that doesn't renew your hope, I don't know what will. If that doesn't give you hope for tomorrow and tomorrow after that and the day after that and the future, I don't know what will. God loves you. You're precious to him. He has a plan to redeem you, to rescue you from everything. And we know ultimately, we know that through Jesus, we have heaven waiting. We have a home waiting for us where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more grief, no more struggle. No more fires for him to even walk us through or deliver us out of. No more floods to us to be lifted out of. No more floods. Just a flood of grace and mercy and the fire, the passion that burns within us to praise God forever and ever and ever. Amen? That's good news. Still, having said all of this, as God's children who I hope now know, if you didn't before, or you just had it confirmed once again, just how good our Father is and how blessed we are as His children, we should take inventory. We should take some inventory. For our Lord says in verse 26 of chapter 43, something interesting. He says, review the past for me. Let's argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Now, why is he saying that after everything else he said? Because, you know, there are those stubborn hearts that still won't want to believe it or can't bring themselves to believe it. Or they might say, I don't need delivered. I don't need saved. I'm not a sinner. I don't even believe in sin. Really? Review your past. Want to argue with God? You want to debate with Him about it? You want to have a talk with Him about it? I love the song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus, but you don't want to have that talk. You don't want to have that argument. You want to have that debate. You're going to lose. Right? We're not innocent on our own merit, but by the blood of Jesus, we're declared innocent, clean, pure. And remember, we're valued, we're precious, we're loved by Him. So, we ought to be living like we're forgiven, don't you think? Because we are. And we ought to be, again, living with anticipation and expectation. And that expectation and anticipation should lead us to a fresh start. To devote ourselves more fully to Him. Yes, and if we haven't been giving to Him the honor and the praise and the sacrifice that He deserves, it's time to start. Well, we might say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. Some of you I do, or at least what you shared with me. But I know this, that whatever we're going through, He will see us through it. He will see us through it. The other side. And He'll bring us to where He wants us to be. That's good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for the goodness, for the graciousness, for the mercy that You've extended to Your people throughout time. God, I want to thank You for rescuing each one of us, probably more times than we realize, from things in our past. God, but help us to have confidence and faith in the present for what You can still do and for the future about what You plan to do. God, if there are any here right now that are just so much wrestling and struggling and feeling like they're being swallowed up in the difficulties of life, God, I pray that through Your Spirit You might comfort them, but also strengthen them with hope. Father, that You might help us to come alongside them, to use what resources and blessings You've given us to encourage and help them. Thank You, God, for the greatest help of all, for Jesus. In His name we pray. And the church says, amen.